From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. New travel requirements from the state of Alaska take effect this Saturday. Health Order 8 allows communities to enact their own travel restrictions. It also provides guidance on in-state travel. For Juneau residents, COVID-19 testing is now required before traveling to other Alaska communities off the ferry or road systems. Residents should receive a negative test result 72 hours before their flight or follow strict social distancing upon arrival until they receive their result. Testing prior to in-state travel can be done at the Juneau International Airport. Appointments should be made in advance. The same rule applies to people traveling to Juneau from communities off the ferry or road system for longer than 3 days. If their visit to Juneau is shorter than that, they do not need to be tested beforehand. But they should either get tested within 5 days of returning or quarantine for 14 days. Yesterday, 30-year-old Joshua Allen Schaff was arrested and charged with the murder of 69-year-old Majid Saturi. Apologies there. Saturi also goes by Mark Humford. According to the Juneau Police Department, Schaff called the police and reported the murder from a residential housing facility in downtown Juneau. Police say the initial cause of death appeared to be multiple stab wounds. At Schaff's arraignment today, Judge Emily Wright says Schaff does not have a criminal history, but evidence shows there's probable cause for his arrest and detainment. Juneau District Attorney Angie Kemp described what she could share from video surveillance footage of the crime scene. She says, quote, the victim had gone back to his residence for a short period of time. After that, the defendant came to his residence and knocked on the door. He was inside for a few minutes and then came back outside. He was outside the door. The next image showed him apparently covered in blood, or at least his pants had blood all over them, end quote. The victim's family called for the maximum penalty of 99 years in prison. His brother, Mohammed Saturi, says he wants justice. He says, quote, I really feel that this man has to be punished to the extent of the law, and it was a violent act to a man that did not deserve anything like that, end quote. Schaff is currently being held at Lemon Creek Correctional Center. His bail is set at $500,000, and his next hearing is scheduled for January 14th. In other news, next year's budget hasn't been approved yet, but ConocoPhillips Alaska says it's planning to restart some of its drilling projects on the North Slope. The company's president, Joe Marushak, outlined plans at the annual Resource Development Council conference on Wednesday in Anchorage. He said by the end of this year, the company plans to restart some drilling on the North Slope, and they plan to build up operations next year.
By the end of 2021, there will be 4 rigs running between GMT2, Alpine, and Kapar. Each rig normally employs about 100 people, and each of those jobs support multiple jobs throughout the state economy.
It has been a challenging year for the oil industry. Marushak said that 2020 was supposed to be the company's largest exploration and winter construction season ever.
We came into the year very excited. It was also slated to be a big drilling year with the startup of the Doyle and Extended Reach drilling rigs at Kaparik and robust drilling programs in the core fields of Alpine, Prudhoe, and Kaparik.
As COVID-19 spread, the company saw a steep drop in demand followed by a collapse of oil prices. First, it suspended development in 2020 and then cut production from the North Slope. Thousands of workers left the North Slope as the company tried to reduce the risk of a large outbreak of the virus. Marushak said they worried it could overwhelm health facilities there. The company also asked staff in its Anchorage offices to work from home. Now Marushak says that for the first time since its fields were brought online. Prudhoe Bay, Kapurak River, and Alpine have no rigs running in them, but the plan is to have rigs working on two of those fields by the end of 2021. One other thing, while the company is planning to continue operating next year, Marushak isn't. After more than 30 years with ConocoPhillips, he says he's retiring in January. In a new study, scientists have linked warming Arctic temperatures, changing wind patterns, and shifting currents to movement of commercially valuable Alaska fish in the Bering Sea. The Bering Sea has seen a loss of summer cold water water barrier in recent years, which used to keep pollock from spreading out and moving north. Hope McKinney with Alaska's Energy Desk reports that while scientists are seeing a drastic shifts in pollock movement patterns, they still don't know what that means for Dutch Harbor or its billion-dollar pollock industry.
Russian and American scientists are working together for the first time to study how Bering Sea pollock have shown up in new places in recent years. By looking at historical and recent data, they've been able to confirm both a northward shift of the groundfish species, as well as a long-suspected movement of fish between U.S. and Russian waters in the past few years.
We were trying to compare what was driving those changes, and then if it was possible for some of the fish from the eastern shelf to mix with the fish on the western side of the Bering Sea.
That's Lisa Eisner, a NOAA Fisheries oceanographer and lead author of the study. She says while scientists have been surveying Bering Sea fisheries for nearly four decades, this specific study was born out of the unusual warming events they've seen in recent years, and it also drew on historical data sets from both the U.S. and Russia. Stan Kotwicki is a NOAA fisheries biologist. He says pollock generally have a north-south migration. And typically, as ice comes down from the Arctic over the course of the winter, it pushes fish south to feed in warmer areas.
And of course, then during the spring and during the summer and fall, when the ice is melting, pollock is moving back north.
But as winter's warm and sea ice melts, he says the pollock are able to migrate much further north and stay there for longer. That's in part because of a shrinking cold pool, an area of frigid water left behind by melted ice that fish don't like to swim through. Lyle Britt leads a team of NOAA fisheries scientists who do yearly surveys of the eastern Bering Sea shelf and northern Bering Sea to track fish stocks. Britt says studies like this one often worry people in communities like Unalaska Dutch Harbor, where the economy is dependent on the commercial fishing industry. He says people can interpret these studies as saying that all pollock are moving north into Russia. But he says that's not the message here. It's much more about understanding pollock movements and behavior than it is an alarm bell that all the pollock are swimming out of reach of fishing boats.
We're now just starting to fully understand really what their migration pattern is and how they interact with going into Russian waters or staying in U.S. waters, being constrained by a cold pool or less constrained when there's a limited or even no cold pool.
Britt says the change in temperatures and shifting sea life has happened very rapidly in recent years throughout the eastern Bering Sea ecosystem. And for Britt and fellow scientists, the big question is how these environmental changes will affect pollock over the long term.
Science for us is only as good as the number of observations we have. And when you've only got, in this case of unprecedented warm, we really only have a couple of years. It's really hard to draw really large scale conclusions at this point.
But he says scientists are planning an array of studies on how whole ecosystems are changing, not just on pollock movements, but on how they follow prey like plankton or smaller fish, and on how they interact with bird and marine mammal migrations. For Alaska's Energy Desk in Unalaska, I'm Hope McKinney.
2 weeks into an outbreak, the number of COVID-19 cases at Goose Creek Correctional Center in Point McKenzie keeps climbing. The facility now has 204 cases, all of which are active. The facility is the state's largest prison and currently houses over 1,300 prisoners. Another ongoing outbreak at the Fairbanks Correctional Center continues to turn up new cases. There have been a total of 158 COVID-19 cases there. Seven of those cases are recent and considered active. Sarah Gallagher, a spokesperson for the Department of Corrections, wrote in an email that both facilities are conducting regular testing of inmates every 3 days. Those tests will be ongoing until there are no positive tests for 14 days. However, Gallagher says that at the Fairbanks Correctional Center, where cases have been spreading for over a month, some inmates are refusing to be tested. She says that at Goose Creek, compliance with testing is generally good. You're listening to KTOO News 104.3 FM in Juneau.